It's safe to say that Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are becoming a problem for the Tennessee Titans. Sunday, Bengals came into Nissan Stadium, just as they did in January, and sent the Titans and their fans home disappointed. This time it was 20-16 Cincinnati, and that is a Cincinnati team that did not have Ja'Marr Chase, that did not have Joe Mixon, yet still was the better team on the day. Titans players and coaches said it after the game. It was obvious to anyone who watched, even though the score was close throughout. You have to start wondering what it's going to take to get past the Bengals and teams like them. You look at the four Titans losses at this point, all the teams with winning records, all against teams that are likely to be in the postseason, one of them in the NFC. I think it's fair to ask at this point how the Titans stack up against the best team in the NFL right now, because that's what you have to start thinking about with the playoffs out there. And we will ask that question and many more on this episode of Believe in Titans with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great, David. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. And John Glennon. John, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good to hear. Once again, this is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online. As always, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup, info, players news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season, every season. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And let us begin with Sunday afternoon at Nissan Stadium. Denard, let's get right to it. What did you see that the Titans didn't do as well in this game as they have done in many others this season?
Where do you want to start? Want to start with the blocking? Want to start with the running game? You want to start with the missed opportunities? I can go all day David.
I think we should start on the line of scrimmage. I think both lines didn't play up to the standard that they have set. So let's start with the offensive line. Second game in a row without Ben Jones at center. You have Aaron Brewer sliding to center, Dylan Radins into left guard. Is it as simple as saying this team misses Ben Jones when he's not in there?
Well, yes, and they got outplayed. And I'm going to tell you something. Offensively, you know who I blame it on? I blame this loss on one person, okay. David and John. I promise you, I blame it on this individual, and I'm going to call him out. You guys want to know who it is?
I do.
Bring it.
It's defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. Now, that's Italian for you. I blame him because he has this team's number. That defense for Cincinnati, they just know how to line up and absolutely whoop this Tennessee offensive butt. And you look at it, go back to Sunday's game. What was it, 20-16? Go back to the playoff game last year. Tennessee came in the number one seed versus the number four seed, Cincinnati. They lost 19-16. Let's go back to 2020. If you look at this game,
Cincinnati was terrible, by
the
way.
They went 1-4. Well, yeah, they was terrible. But out of their four losses, three of those losses came with less than 2 minutes left in the game. And I remember breaking that game down, and I was telling Davey Hudson, listen, if Tennessee goes in that game, who the Titans were, what, 5-1 going into Cincinnati? And I said, if they take this team lightly and this Cincinnati team can put four quarters together, Tennessee might end up with a loss. And that's exactly what happened. 31-20. You cannot win in this league when you take a team lightly. In Cincinnati, for whatever reason, they just seem to have this. I'm sorry, Cincinnati just seems to have this Tennessee Titans team. They got them down right down to the T.
John Glennon, a terrible day for Derrick Henry running the ball. He did have the big catch. He's sort of trending in the wrong direction right now. We've historically seen him get better as the season goes. We're not seeing that right now. What's going on with him in the running game over the last several contests now?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's easy to point at this game because the Titans lost the game and because his numbers were exceptionally low, 17 carries for 38 yards. But really, you have to look back over the last three games, against Denver, 19 carries for 53, against Green Bay, 87 yards gained, but on 28 carries. So you add all three of those games together, 64 carries, 178 yards. That's averaging less than 3 yards a carry over the last three games, and that is not the running game that we know from the Titans. That is not the Derrick Henry that we know. I think primarily, I still think it's more line than it is Derrick Henry. Certainly when we look at the line the last 2 weeks, especially with Ben Jones out of there, let's look at this now. I mean, Dennis Daly is a journeyman, as your starting left tackle. Dylan Raitens is an out of position backup at your left guard. Aaron Brewer is a guard who's playing center. Nate Davis is kind of your only guy who's, kind of basically a solid guy where he's supposed to be. And you're looking at a right tackle, a rookie, a third round draft pick playing at starting right tackle. So I think defenses have found a way the last, 3 weeks or so to start really shooting the gaps well. There's more run blitzing. The Ben Jones isn't there to kind of guide the line and kind of help out in schemes and formations and so forth. I think it's a combination of those things, all coming together right now. So, really, I think also, despite the fact we've seen some indications that the Titans passing game is stepping up, it's still not enough. There are some more deep shots. There are some more X plays, but it's still not enough to scare teams into putting two safeties back on a regular basis. And until the Titans can either A, improve that blocking, or B, make that passing game that much better, Derrick Henry's going to have a major challenge ahead of himself in the run game.
Yeah, and there was optimism for Ben Jones going into this game too. He was a full participant on Friday. Mike Vrabel said he expected that Ben Jones would clear the concussion protocol that afternoon, and then Sunday comes, and Ben Jones, who we all know how much it means to Ben Jones and how he'll play through just about anything, he's among the inactives again. So you wonder if they were protecting him from himself a little bit and giving him a little extra time, maybe, but that was sort of a surprise going into this contest. Maybe it didn't work out as well as they wanted. I mean, give the Titans credit again. They were in this thing till the end. They thought they were going to have a chance to go down the field and put up a game tying touchdown, maybe a game winner if they were going to go for two when the Bengals kicked a 31 yard field goal with just under 2 minutes to play. But then lo and behold, a penalty. I haven't heard it called in years. The unnecessary roughness for a hit to the head or neck area of the snapper. And officially Kevin Strong was the one who was flagged for it. Tierre Tart was there too, and Kevin Byard, for one, even after the game, said that. Well, yeah, from where I was, it looked like two people hit the guy. So you don't want to fault their aggressiveness and their desire to try to make a play there, but the Bengals took the points off the board and were able to run the rest of the time off the clock there. The Titans offense never even got the chance. So, Denard, you've been in special teams meetings and whatnot. Was that rule in place when you played, and what exactly is the point of that? What can you, what can't you do to that guy as he's sending the ball back to the holder?
You have to reiterate to your defensive lineman, do not touch the snapper. That's a defenseless player. So that rule has always been in play. Unfortunately, if I'm Tennessee, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going hard, but you have to make sure that you let your defensive linemen and your linebackers know if you're going to rush, do not touch the snapper. He is defenseless. And that was a big play of the game because you think about it. Let's say if Cincinnati scores and pick up the 3 points, it's 23-16 and Tennessee gets the ball back with a little under 2 minutes left in the game. So anything could have happened. Unfortunately, when they ended up, they call that, that was an unnecessary roughness. Again, I love what Charles Davis said. That's the game. That's it. Only thing they had to do was take three knees and it was over. But there were some missed opportunities in this game defensively. I can go back to the third quarter, and this was a big play. And I might be wrong with this, but I broke that play down, and it was a 3rd and 9 with about 7 minutes and 18 seconds left in the quarter. And you talk about the T. Higgins third down catch. It was a 3rd and 9, the speed out route. They had a bracket coverage on T. If you watch that play, you will see Andrew Adams playing high and he's playing inside, and you will see Christian Fulton. He's supposed to be outside, but he ends up with his body position. He ends up turning in, which allows T. Higgins to run that speed out. That was on Christian Fulton. What should have happened is Christian Fulton should have stayed square outside and squatted. He would have ended up going for 6 points the other way. So they missed out on that opportunity. You can see after the play, Andrew Adams got his hand on his head and he's looking at Christian like, bro, like I got you over the top. Only thing you had to do was stay outside. I know that coverage. It's called bracket. It's just a true bracket. It just got to me because Tennessee, they had some chances. They just could not capitalize.
And that's, you know, that sort of speaks to what this team is right now. I mean, we've talked about it, right? Low scoring games. They're going to drag teams down in the mud with them, but you don't have a big margin for error in that situation. When you give up a 3rd and long or when an unknown wide receiver, I can't even think of the guy's name right now.
I know who you're talking about.
Irwin, the little guy Trent made Irwin, this sensational catch, you know, on the side.
I mean, just like you, David.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sensational catch he made on the sideline. You know, that sort of thing, those are bigger moments for the Titans right now than they are for other teams because, you know, the Titans, they don't have as much to overcome those sorts of things. And, you know, John, I'll ask you this, too, that Joe Burrow had more time to throw than other opposing quarterbacks have this year. Danico Autry was not in there. This is the first game of what we expect will be several that Danico isn't in there. Is he that vital to the Titans pass rush the way Ben Jones could be that vital to the offensive line and the pass protection and so on?
I would say yes. You can make that argument based on not only this game, but, you know, the last couple of games, because of course, Danico Autry didn't play the full game against Green Bay as well. Jeffrey Simmons was kind of half speed for that game. There was no Bud Dupree against the Packers. And we saw another kind of shaky game in terms of pressure against Green Bay. You know, I think there was only either one sack or zero sacks against the Packers, three quarterback hits. And then again, personnel lacking against the Bengals. Autry's out. Simmons is still not 100%. Dupree is just getting back. And you wind up with one sack and four quarterback hits against the Bengals. And Joe Burrow had all kinds of time back there. So I think personnel certainly played a big role in that. But I also think, you know, the Titans' inability to stop the run as successfully as they had several weeks in a row kind of left them on their heels. You know, we had seen for so many weeks the Titans just throttled opponents' running games, just completely shut it down, made teams one-dimensional. You knew when the other team was going to pass for the most part. This game, the Titans never reached that stage. You know, there was always that sense, are they going to run? Are they going to pass? Because they've had success in both. So I think the fact that they had to hesitate and that they weren't locked in on either run or pass, I think that added to Joe Burrow's time as well. As a result, he just had much too much time back there, especially for a guy, you know, who may be, you know, if not the most accurate quarterback in the game, certainly one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the game.
And let's say this, too. This is one of those finer details that I think people don't talk about enough, don't maybe understand enough. But, you know, Denico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons have talked about little things they do together and how their rush is coordinated. And you have to ask the question about how well coordinated that pass rush was against the Bengals, because Joe Burrow ran it 9 times for 32 yards. He had a 13 yard run on the first series that sort of set the tone. And I thought his runs and his ability to get out of the pocket and make some plays was a big factor in this game. You compare that to January, the guy had no time to do anything back there. It would, you know, the 9 sacks, and he only ran it 2 times for 5 yards in that game. And this time he was able to sort of pick his lane and go and get important yardage. And it's something that I discovered. I wrote about it. Joe Burrow is now the 3rd quarterback this season to rush for at least 25 yards against the Titans. And 25 yards is not a huge number, but when it's a quarterback getting out and moving the chains and doing those sorts of things, those can be significant yards. And those 3 quarterbacks are Daniel Jones of the Giants, Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, and now Joe Burrow of the Bengals. And oh, by the way, those are 3 of the Titans' 4 losses to this point. So I think maybe there is something, you know, Denard, am I right about that? That a well-coordinated pass rush is better than just a pass rush, yes?
Yes, but you also have to take in consideration the play of the running back position. Samaje Perine, I thought he did an excellent job. I thought he was the difference maker this game, because if you look in the first half, he pretty much was the offense. I know he had, 6 rushes for 29 yards, but he was very impactful in the receiving game. What, he had 35 receiving yards and 1 touchdown in the first half. He was the difference maker. He finished with 17 carries for 58 yards. But if you look at the way that he was running, I mean, he was picking his holes. He was able to get to the second level of that defense. And that when you start doing that in the running game, of course, we saw in the second half where T. Higgins started to come alive. And that's where they had some issues, because in the first half, they did a great job in bottling him up. In the second half, he's like, he just went off. He finished the game with 7 receptions for over 114 yards. And we know about the fourth quarter touchdown that he had. Yeah. That really sealed the deal. So that was the difference. I mean, yeah, Joe has, he's like Ron, you know, he's going to make some plays with his legs. But the difference in this game was Cincinnati's ability to run the football when they needed to.
And Perine, one of the first times he touched the ball, I can't remember if it was a run or screen, but he delivered a Derrick Henry type stiff arm to David Long. I thought that was a really interesting moment, and sort of made it clear that the Bengals were there. They weren't messing around. They came to town to take care of business in this game.
Yeah, and David, I got something to say about Samaje Perine. I mean, you're talking about, he's filling in for his old Boomer Sooner teammate, Joe Mixon. You know, what's weird is that Samaje was the star running back at Oklahoma, and Joe Mixon was his backup. But when you look at when he was coming into this game, it was amazing. He had 3 receiving touchdowns last week against Pittsburgh. That's the most in franchise history. 4 TDs in the last 2 games. So that should have kind of been like an alert that the game plan is going to be centered around him. And he did a great job. I mean, when you can get to the second level on Tennessee, and you talk about the stiff arm, but you're talking about the way that he was running the football, that physicality that he showed Sunday, that was amazing.
I think you could have won some money had you wagered that Samaje Perine would outrush Derrick Henry by a comfortable margin,
yeah,
going into this game. But John, you referenced it earlier. There's signs of life in the passing game. Another big throw, deep throw to Treylon Burks. It's kind of becoming a thing. There was the screen pass to Henry that turned into a really long gain and a touchdown, albeit a bit of an ugly touchdown. Is this offense starting to balance out now a little bit, and how important is Burks? And we've talked about him a couple times, another rookie tight end, Chigakonkwo. How important are those guys to this sort of evolution of the passing game right now?
I think they're very important, especially given what we talked about earlier, the struggles of the run game, not only against Cincinnati, but really the last 3 games. And the Titans are more and more going to need, apparently, more of a passing attack, more of a balance, because, for the longest time, for that 5 week stretch that Derrick Henry ran for over 100 each game, it really didn't seem to matter who was in the lineup on the offensive line or who the Titans were playing. The Titans were saying, we're going to run the football and you can't stop us. And that's the way it was. But that has not been the case now for 3 straight weeks. So you have to change. Either you're going to have to figure out a way, whether that's scheme, whether that's personnel or whatever, to run the ball better, or you're going to have to develop more of a passing game. And I like the signs that we're seeing. Treylon Burks, yeah, catches of 51, 51, and 43 in the last 2 games. Chigakonkwo Conquo had 3 straight games with a catch over 30 yards coming into this one. He had 2 more, this game, 12 and 17 yards for first down. Even, we didn't mention, but Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, 4 catches, 58 yards against the Bengals, too. So you got Hooper starting to make some catches now, even though he and Jeff Swain both had drops. So we're seeing some progress there. Is it enough, as we referenced earlier, to scare opponents into changing that run heavy defense? No, not yet. It is not. But perhaps, if the targets and the volume and the production continue for especially for Treylon Burks, maybe we're starting to see at this point, maybe he's starting to look like the young AJ Brown at this point. And maybe that opens things up just a little bit. And we certainly we look at the overall yardage last 2 weeks, Ryan Tannehill, 2 biggest passing yardage games of the year, 333 yards and 291 yards. So yeah, the Titans are at least showing us, hey, there's a little bit here now that Treylon Burks is back off IR. We've got a few options in that passing game.
And here's more good news on that front. The last 2 weeks are the 2 biggest games for the Titans in terms of yards after the catch. So it's not just throwing the ball, it's throwing the ball in the right spot, getting the ball to guys on the move. And you even add the Denver game in there, and 3 of the top 4 games this season in terms of those totals. And you talk about throwing the ball to the right spot and giving a guy a chance to run. I thought the screen pass to Henry that turned into the big touchdown. Of course, he fumbled at the end. Treylon Burks is there, falls on it in the end zone. But that was another one of those little things. The Bengals sort of got a good push and almost blew that play up. Tannehill had to hold the ball a half second longer than he wanted to, but he recognized what was happening, did, allowed Henry to get his feet set and turn properly, got the ball to him then in a position where he could take off down the field and run. And those are the kinds of things that weren't happening earlier in the season that are happening now. So definitely, I agree. Signs of life, good, lot reason to feel that if they have to throw the ball more, perhaps they can do what they need to do. But we can't talk about the Titans passing game, at least not this week, and not talk about the fact that AJ Brown is in Philadelphia, because the Titans, of course, on Sunday are going to Philadelphia to play AJ Brown and the Titan or and the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the best record in the NFL at this point. Denard, we'll ask you. I mean, guys change teams every season. That's not new, but when it's a guy who's a big star, a big personality like AJ Brown, is it a bigger deal to him, or is it a bigger deal to the Titans to try and hold him, keep him under wraps a little bit this week?
Both, because he's playing absolutely phenomenal this year. It's going to be personal to AJ when you talk. He's going to be mad. He's going to come out and he wants to put on a show. He wants to, especially they're playing in Philly. So there's nothing more that he wants to do is probably to have a game where he's probably have about 250 receiving yards and three touchdowns. And then he get a chance to talk to you guys and tell you to tell that staff to go stuff it because they didn't pay him the money that he felt like he deserved. That's what players do when they play their old team. I know what it feels like to come back to Nashville. You want to make sure when you go in there that you put on a show. So if you're Tennessee, what you want to do when you play that team, you want to go in there with the mindset that, you know what, we're the second ranked defense, force rushing defense in the National Football League. We have players in the back half, Roger McCreary, Trey Avery, what a phenomenal job that he played Sunday. Number 30 showed off. He showed that, you know what, an undrafted free agent out of Rutgers played exceptional. I thought the coverage on T. Higgins on a lot of the plays, he's just an underrated football player. He's a role player that has fit in to this system quite nicely. They can match up against this Phillies offense. This defense for Tennessee can go in there and they can play well against Philly. They did it against Kansas City. I see why they can't go into Philadelphia and play the same way.
Yeah, we should give Trey Avery a little shout out here. You know, Mike Vrabel did certainly in his Monday press conference said he was targeted 6 times in the game, broke up 5 passes, and you know, if you think back to week 2 at Buffalo, he got thrown in there and he looked lost. I mean, it was a terrible performance. The fact that he's been able to settle down, sort of, you know, get his wits about him again, and when his opportunity has come these last couple weeks, he's been a completely different player, and good for him for that. And certainly something the Titans need to help stabilize that cornerback group in the midst of some injuries again. But John Glennon, I'll ask you this. This has been interesting ever since April. You know, AJ Brown was a beloved player here for 3 years, and now it's quite possible that there is no more greater villain in the NFL than AJ Brown right now. And you know, how did we get to this point? And what do you think that'll mean to AJ's performance?
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. AJ was, you know, such a personable guy, in addition to being a star, that, you know, this all came out of left field and, you know, my way of thinking. You know, I think certainly things began to turn, you know, public opinion began to turn against AJ, even, you know, when you look at the trade and it sort of came to light that AJ had, you know, broken off communication, you know, in the weeks leading up to the deal, and that, you know, he was kind of looking to get out because he hadn't been paid yet. But I think people were somewhat willing to forgive and say, maybe that's a negotiating tactic. You know, that's understandable. Players can do that. What I don't think fans can relate to is kind of, you know, the social media shots that AJ Brown had been taking against his old team. And, you know, I mean, it stepped up in his innocent little tweets, you know, saying that he was without a doubt the greatest receiver in this franchise's history, something which no doubt tweaked many of the old time fans and Derek Mason, I'm sure. You know, and then it continued, you know, when he took the little shot at Mike Vrabel and saying he's, you know, the old Bill Belichick, nobody has any fun there. You know, I'm allowed to express myself here in Philly. And then, of course, the worst I thought, you know, was at the Kansas City game when the Titans, you know, Malik Willis was starting. The Titans were having all kinds of difficulty throwing the ball. And A.J. Brown is live tweeting, laughing about how nobody is open down the field, you know, for the Titans. And to me, I'm just like, you know, what's the need? You know, A.J. Brown is having a great year. His team is having a great year. He's in the, you know, in the first year of $100 million, 4-year contract. Why the need to take the pot shots, you know, back at your old team on social media? To me, that's a little bit immature, a little bit unprofessional. But what it has done, certainly in my opinion, you know, as you said, this is a guy who was so popular here. And I think if he went out and kind of just, you know, okay, the trade is trade and I'm off to a new start, I think he'd still be, you know, well-liked certainly among Titans fans. But all these little shots, you know, have really soured people on A.J. Brown in a hurry.
I think, though, you know, Denard brought it up that, you know, he's going to be motivated and whatnot. And one thing we saw over the previous 3 seasons is AJ Brown knew how to seize a moment. You know, his first game, for example, he had a big touchdown catch in that one. You go back to last season, coming off injured reserve, the Thursday night against San Francisco, where the Titans had all sorts of injuries, and it just got to the point where Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown were playing pitch and catch, and it seemed like the 49ers could do nothing with him. And there are any number of examples over his 3 years here that AJ is not a guy who will shrink from the moment. So he's going to be a handful for sure. You know, Kevin Byard talked about it on Monday, and he said, you know, AJ's my guy. I'll talk to him before the game. I'll talk to him after the game. But you know, you also know that Kevin Byard has a lot of pride, and you know, he's going to be one guy who's going to make it his mission as much as he can to make sure that AJ Brown is not running wild through this Titans secondary. And I mean, that's an interesting question though, too, Denard. Can guys get too hyped up for these sorts of moments, or is that energy sort of a good thing that it typically helps guys?
Well, I give you a little, what about Russell Wilson going back to Seattle? You know, I think that was a moment where he had to take a deep breath and pause for a second and not allow the emotions to get to him. What about Brian Dawkins? Remember the Hall of Famer, the great Brian Dawkins, who played all those years at Philly. And the first he was with Denver, I don't know the year, but he went back to Philly. He was so emotional, he couldn't come out of the locker room for pregame. So he just stayed in the locker room the whole time. It was just too much. It was the emotions had built up. And for AJ, it'd be the same thing. Listen, Tennessee is who gave you a chance. They drafted you and you were a star. I mean, the first 3 years of AJ's career, it was amazing what he was off to. I mean, but again, it's unfortunate that money played a role in him going to Philly, but this will be a game where I'm pretty sure he's marked this game probably back in August. And if I'm Kevin Byard, the first time I get a chance to take a shot, I'm going to take a shot that it's a shot that he will remember. If Tennessee, if you go down there and you set the tone early, because guess what? Philly's going to try to get him the ball. They're going to try to get him in the game plan early. And if I'm Tennessee, I go down there with the mindset that he's just another player. He's just another player on the field.
And I assume that's exactly what Mike Vrabel will be preaching all week, that, you know, you can't get just like last week. It was, look, this isn't a revenge game.
Right.
Last season is gone. You know, Mike Vrabel is very good at sort of delivering his message in a way that his players hear it. You know, some coaches, they have their message but you know that Mike Vrabel's message gets through because you hear it from guys throughout the locker room during the week. And that is kind of becoming even more and more prominent almost five full seasons into his tenure now. So John Glennon, let me ask you this. The Eagles have the best record in football, looked awful good on Sunday night football against the Packers, particularly on offense. How do the Titans win this game?
It's going to be a real, real challenge. You know, we talked about just now how the Titans, you know, shouldn't focus too much on AJ Brown. And there's a good reason for that, because this Eagles team is loaded with weapons, you know, really on both sides of the ball. You know, you look at obviously Jalen Hurts is probably one of the favorites for MVP right now. You know, over 3,000 yards combined offense, 25 touchdowns, you know, whether it's running or passing. You know, you look what Miles Sanders has done, 900 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. And you know, Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert have combined, I think, for over 100 catches and 1,000 yards themselves. So all kinds of weapons. We've talked about how running quarterbacks, as you mentioned, David, and your story as well, have given you know, the Titans difficulty. Well, this certainly is one of the best in the business right here in Jalen Hurts. But, you know, I think what the Titans' main concern has to be right now is in the trenches, you know, after what happened against Cincinnati, where they were whipped on both sides of the ball. you're looking now at a Philly team that, you know, is one of the best running teams in the league because of that offensive line. And you flip things over, this is the number two defense in the league as well. And you're looking at some monsters up in the line. You know, you got Fletcher Cox, guys like Josh Sweat. And of course, Ndamukong Suh was just signed recently, but it was already making an impact there. So if this Titans offensive line had difficulty moving the Bengals, you know, I think it's an even bigger challenge for them to move some of these Eagles behemoths out of the way. So there's a lot of challenges, you know, and Mike Vrabel said it flatly today, said this is the best team in the NFL. And really, it's hard to argue with them at this point.
But Denard, you've been in locker rooms, you've been in game plan meetings, you've been in position group meetings. No player with the Titans is sitting there going, holy cow, these guys are good. I mean, you're looking at them and saying, "I there's something I can exploit. There's something I can do better," right? I mean, that has to be the Titans' mindset this week is identify things you think you can do and go out and do them on Sunday, right?
What about the game against the Rams last year? No
yeah,
one gave this Titan
example.
Team. They didn't give this team a chance. And, I mean, I had to – I don't even go on Twitter anyways, but I'm going to start tweeting the shows. But no one. I mean, you just lost your best player. You bring it in old-school AD, Adrian Peterson. You have three guys at fullback that nobody even knows. And no one gave this team a chance. They went down and whipped the Los Angeles Rams. You can. There's no disparity in this league. It's about who shows up and how they show up and what they're able to do, make plays. If you're Tennessee, you establish your DNA. You run the football. You don't deviate from that. When you do that, you will not win in this game. You don't care about Ndamukong Suh. You don't care about the guys up front. You don't care about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's kind of banged up too, so that should be a little alert for Tennessee is that their best defensive back has a rib injury. I'm just saying. So what you want to do, if he's playing Sunday, you might want to attack him on the perimeter. You might be able to make some plays when he has a hurt rib. But if you're Tennessee, do what you do best. Go out there and pound the football. No one gave this team a chance against Kansas City. And yet what they're up 20-9 going into what about 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, this is a team that can play with anybody in the league. There's no disparity in this league, David. If you bring your A game, it will always give you a chance to win on Sunday. So again, get back, establish your DNA, and run the football, and do it by the guys in the trenches, Dylan Raitens, get back to Dennis Daly, hopefully Aaron Brewer, and hopefully Ben Jones is back. That would be a huge addition to this offensive unit.
Well, there you have it. Reason to believe, Titans fans. And as we wrap this thing up, we should note the first results of or the early voting for fan voting for the Pro Bowl games this year is out, and two Titans lead their position groups in the AFC. Derrick Henry, no surprise there. Ryan Stonehouse, a bit of a surprise there that he's been so good. People around the league apparently are noticing him already, and he's attracting that kind of attention. And on the injury front, Mike Vrabel said on Monday that it's possible that Kyle Phillips and or Ola Adeniyi could be designated for return to practice this week. So some good news on the injury front there. We will see how it all goes this week. We will see what happens Sunday. Until then, thank you for always, as always, for listening. This is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online.